Now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up.
The road to 150 episodes takes an amazing pit stop tonight with a awesome special guest host tonight. We will introduce him here soon. We got so much to talk about. We got, of course, Raw. We got a recap. Flavor of the Week this week is going to be the continuation of the worst Royal Rumble winners series that we're doing for a few weeks leading up to WWE Royal Rumble. And regardless of what you say, we're going to talk about some OSU. And I'm really, really excited. And I'm really, really excited to see what my host thought of the college football playoff series this year, and if he would make any type of adjustments and so forth. So we're going to have an amazing time, episode 146. Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, your host, along with my co-host that will be joining us after the interview that I'm going to have with someone who I'm really, really excited to introduce, former Ring of Honor television champion and member of the Kingdom. Ooh, I'd like to introduce none other than Matt Taven. How are you tonight, sir?
Very good. I like that introduction. I'm not sure if those oohs was I'm going to just take it as a good thing for the Kingdom because it's the hottest faction in wrestling today.
The ooh is because you're what pro wrestling fans call a heel. So, that's where that came from, and just really the evolution of Matt Taven, almost 10 years in the business, but really an established ROH star for about 2.5 years or so now. Really got your foot in there, and your indie work before then was quite impressive as well to lead you into Ring of Honor. So let us know about where you started from and who really encouraged you and kind of prompted you and put you, kind of put your foot forward and encouraged you to go ahead and chase your dreams in pro wrestling.
Well, you're aging me a little bit. It hasn't. It's only been 6 years in pro wrestling. I'm not close to that decade mark yet. But I was a wrestling fan, and man, as long as I can remember, since I was 5, 6 years old, I was a wrestling fan. And honestly, I really had no thought of pursuing pro wrestling. I always just thought of it as like one of those dreams, like you want to be an astronaut when you're a kid, or you want to be whatever, NBA All-Star. Mm-hmm. But I went to college, did what I thought everyone else was supposed to do and become a real grown-up. And actually, after I graduated from school, one of my buddies was on the indie scene in New England, and I just came down to check it out and literally got in the ring and was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And kind of dedicated my life ever since then to wrestling. I trained with Spike Dudley here in Massachusetts at the lockup school. And, you know, the first people who really gave me my big break was companies up here like Top Rope Promotions and then, for the most part, Northeast Wrestling, NEW. And I think the biggest favor that NEW did for me was putting me in the ring with one Mike Bennett, who at the time, you know, was a guy with experience, was a guy that was a top guy even back then in this area, a guy that everyone was talking about, saying that he's on the radar to get signed here, get signed there, and Northeast Wrestling literally put me in the ring with him for about a year. And if you can't get better wrestling Mike Bennett, then you're in the wrong business. And honestly, from there, things just kind of took off in all sorts of different directions. But I would say that's where I got my start, you know, Spike Dudley training. But the in-ring training from my good friend Mike was very influential in the quick growth that I had in my career.
Nice. And, of course, for those who are fans of Ring of Honor, which are very, very many people, people know that you have that specific affiliation, association with Mike Bennett right now as a fellow
my tag team partner.
Kingdom.
We just came back from a tour of New Japan. You know, we have our eyes on the Ring of Honor tag titles, also going back to New Japan. We got, you know, things already in the works to go to England this year, and we're just, we're literally bringing the kingdom worldwide. And the fact that I can do that stuff with a guy that's been my closest friend since I got in the business is, you know, makes us even more special, because I think, you know, the chemistry that we have on TV is there's nothing work to that. That's all real. That's just two buddies going out there and having a blast.
Nice. So Bennett was very instrumental in your track to get your ROH contract and sign with ROH?
Well, he was very instrumental in getting getting me better at a much quicker pace than most people, just from being in the ring with someone so good. But at the same time, I was also watching the way he was maneuvering his career and getting into ROH and kind of following in his footsteps, doing the camps. And then, you know, I would travel with Mikey to Ring of Honor shows, meet everyone, and try to get in front of the right people. So as much as he helped me out in the ring, following his advice and following his lead also led me on a path to Ring of Honor.
Oh, nice. So I remember you debuting in Ring of Honor, and your character was more of a the branding was similar to a popular music television station. And was that your idea? Was that the exec's idea? Let us know how the debut of Mike of Matt Taven and giving you that character is that you a reflection of you in real life? Just as far as you know, the carefree, you know, spirit, and just let us know as far as how that came about.
Well, I mean, as far as the logos and the, you know, the tights and stuff like that, that was all things that I was doing already on the indie scenes. I mean, my very first debuts in Ring of Honor, you know, the stuff with Mike Mondo and whatnot, that was just kind of a version of what I was doing on the indies already. I mean, mostly it was just me. At the same time, when I look back on it, I definitely feel like it was a watered-down version of me, because I was just I was nervous to step on any toes. I was, you know, in a new place without a contract at the time, so I wanted to impress, and I was trying to more be focused on this goal of getting signed than just relaxing and being myself, which is what they wanted me there for in the first place. But as far as that carefree attitude, I mean, that's me. I always brag in the locker room how when we get our blood pressure done, I'm always have the lowest blood pressure and the best pulse, just because I try not to let things stress me out in life. That, I guess, came off on TV, but for the most part, That was just a little speck of everything that I have to offer. I think the role that you see me in now is a lot more of my own personality than ever before.
Yeah, awesome. And then then there was a big shift from the Matt Taven that the viewers were used to seeing, very party-like, and you were a babyface, and then you aligned yourself with Truth Martini, and that road actually was a better road for you because you ended up becoming television champion around that time, and then had a very long reign as ROH television champion. Let us know your times with Truth Martini, and of course that led to the breakup between your affiliation with Truth Martini and a kind of a face run leading into that. After you left Martini, seemed like you were going back to a baby face, and let us know that transition and your thoughts on that as you were experiencing that.
Well, I mean, that all came about with the Top Prospect Tournament, which Ring of Honor is in the midst of their Top Prospect Tournament this year. You know, just to speak on the tournament alone, just look at the guys that have come out of that tournament, the ACH. My year alone was ACH, Silas, me, Adam Page, QT Marshall, Kadarius Thomas. So that Top Prospect Tournament every year is legit. And, big stars come out of that every single year. And then when I had the chance to align myself with Truth Martini at the time, it was just a no-brainer. I had known Truth for a couple of years. Like I said, I had been around Ring of Honor for a little bit, trying to get my foot in the door, and had seen what Truth Martini could do for other people, the Roderick Strongs of the world, the Michael Elgins, and saw the success that he had brought to them. So when that opportunity came about, it wasn't even a question. And I turned out to make the right decision because I was the longest reigning television champion of all time. And looking back on some of that, some of those matches and stuff, definitely we hit a stride about 5 months in together where we finally knew one another because we had known each other high and there and by and whatnot, but once we finally spent a couple of months together, then, we really got in a good rhythm. And it's some of the funnest times I had in my career. And like all good things, they sometimes just run their course. And, I needed to go out on my own. I needed to see if I could do it without Truth. And not only prove it to, the people that were asking the question, but prove it to myself. And I found myself kind of get lost in the shuffle, which is my own fault. And then all of a sudden I'm too busy thinking about Truth and chasing down him and Jay, and I kind of lose my way. And that's when the Kingdom thing came about, and it couldn't come at a better time because if there's two guys that I spend the most time in wrestling outside the ring, it's Adam Cole and Mike Bennett. And, when you're lost and you're looking for yourself, you got to find your buddies to remember who exactly you are.
There you go. And what matches do you remember? Because like you said, you had a very lengthy television championship reign, history-making television championship reign for Ring of Honor. What matches stand out just instinctively? What matches stand out during your television championship reign?
Well, immediately I think of two matches that I had with Eddie Edwards, who I can't say enough good things about. One of the best guys I've ever been in the ring with. Also, matches I had with Jay Lethal when the script was flipped a little bit and Truth was on my side, and we had a match in Philadelphia on TV that I thought was fantastic. I was able to pick up victories over the likes of Kevin Steen, Davey Richards, Roderick Strong, guys that are at the top of Ring of Honor. And that's where I wanted to be. And when you look back at that, you can't deny the results.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of those matches and just Just the fact that it really showed that the ROH had some investment in Matt Taven. Just the big shift that you took from being that type of party rock star character to more of an edge with that character. The character didn't necessarily just totally go away, but it was more of an edge, more of a villainous edge that was with it. Of course, anyone aligning with Truth Martini would have that type of edge, as we're seeing with Jay Lethal being such a huge baby face for so long, and then aligning himself with Truth Martini and just really incorporating that edge in his character. Definitely Truth Martini has the mic work. I've seen him live, and he definitely knows what to do and what to say to draw the ire of the crowd, and some cheers as well. So I definitely can see the benefit in that the association with Truth Martini. So Truth Martini, the era with Martini and the House of Truth, it ends, and you take a bit of a break from ROH. Is that something that you was just really kind of thinking about and just analyzing in your head that you need to take a break from ROH, or was it just a direction issue? Let us know a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, I think it was pretty obvious just by how I was coming off on screen. I'd hit this wall where I seemed to be floundering, couldn't get past a certain point. And there's no doubt my body was taking a beating. The cage match, I broke a toe. My elbow was, I needed to go see a doctor about my elbow clicking. I mean, I had bone fragments in my elbow that were making both my bursa sac swell. So It was definitely, a good time to take off anyway. But more importantly than all that, than just the nagging injuries, was I was at a point in my career where I had to ask myself, what's next? What are you going to do next? And the answer was, I was just going to do exactly what I wanted to do from here on in. I wasn't going to have Truth Martini to listen to. I wasn't going to be obsessed with getting revenge on Truth. I was going to listen to fans. I was going to listen to me. And, luckily I had the right people around me to tell me that that's exactly what I should be doing. And honestly, ever since then, since I've come back to Ring of Honor, it's been my favorite part or my favorite aspect of my career, the most fun that I've had in and out of the ring since.
Nice. Yeah. So you had some time as, I don't know how much this is breaking the ROH kayfabe, but were you ever under the Romantic Touch mask?
Well, I was without a doubt under that mask one night. That's one of my favorite moments that you can catch on DVD is when I disrobed Jay Lethal, Ric Flair, a la Ric Flair, in front of a live crowd, only to find out that I was under the Romantic Touch mask the whole time and picked up a victory over the television champ. As far as being the Romantic Touch now, man, I would have to be all over the place, but maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. So that's a secret I'm going to keep with me. I'm not going to give away all the secrets of the hot sauce.
Well, hey, the worst thing I could do is ask. So
yeah, I don't mind it. I'll answer. Speaking of questions, I heard your little intro. Who do you guys have as the worst Rumble winner?
Well, we're doing a series actually. No, absolutely not. I'm not going to tip the hat on this week. We're going to talk about it a little later on, but we're going through a series now for about 3 weeks, saying the worst Royal Rumble winners. And last week we started off. We have a a random wrestling discussion topic at the end of the show called the Flavor of the Week, and we just talk about any random. A lot of it comes from talking, you know, wrestling 10, 20, 30 years ago, and just random discussion topics. And since we're heading over to the Royal Rumble, we thought about just the worst Royal Rumble winners in the history of the business. And last week we started off with Big John Studd as being one of them.
I'm about to say the early ones are questionable. Or like Hogan wins twice. Like he didn't need either one of them, actually. But
yeah,
I get the first one, but throwing out perfect and stuff, I don't know. But I was interested.
Yeah.
I was interested to see who you guys chose.
Yeah. Well, we chose Studd last week just because when he won in 89, there was no – and, of course, you know, not until the 90s when they start incorporating the automatic, you know, automatic contract to the WrestleMania main event. But like you said, before then it was just it was a spectacle. It was a big deal, but not so much because the winners really didn't have a payoff. Like Studd, you know, before 89,
yeah.
Studd was a big name, and of course, $25,000 slam match against Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And when he won in 89, there was absolutely it was towards the tail end of his career, and
yeah,
there was
like
really
all
no payoff at all. Exactly. Yeah. There was no payoff at all of when him winning the Rumble. And, of course, you know, when you mentioned Hogan, he was champ 1 year. You know, I think it was that same year when he eliminated Perfect. He was champion, and he won the Royal Rumble. So it
I mean, I get it was to set up the Warrior, but still. But I think
we
all agree that the best Rumble, and could be my favorite wrestling event just for the sheer commentary alone, is the 1992 Royal Rumble
with
Ric Flair.
People,
I mean, Bobby Heenan is the absolute man. Makes that man. I sometimes go to bed and just listen to the commentary because it's the funniest piece of work between Monsoon and Heenan.
Yeah, and the funny part was him trying to be impartial, but not really trying to be impartial. So it's like,
I love
you know,
it. I love it. It's a skirt. It's I mean, it's a kilt. It's not a skirt. And then he's flipping out 2 seconds later. I still, honestly, could be my favorite event just for the commentary alone.
Yeah, yeah. I think 92, I mean, 92 was just a cut above the rest because it's the only Rumble that was for the WWE Championship. And I think that alone is monumental. And I think it should be something that should be incorporated again. I you know, we need to see it one more time. For it to be a 23-year span, you know, we need to see at least one more time. You think so?
It would have to. I mean, everything old becomes new again after a while. People will be into it again.
So your WWE thoughts, so, what do you think about the product? Is that something that you can see yourself, you know, in? If you had someone that you would like to compete with right now from WWE, who would it be?
I mean, I think it's every, you know, wrestler's dream to perform in front of the most people they possibly can, just get their art out there as much as possible. So obviously the WWE is something that's, and being a fan since I was a kid, WWE is something that always aspired for or, you know, definitely could see myself one day. As far as the product right now, I watch it a lot, obviously, because of ties that I have to people. Obviously, that means NXT, a lot of that. I think I keep up with that more than I keep up with the Raw or SmackDown products. I'm glad to see some people that are definitely deserving get a shot. At the same time, you know, I probably have the same complaints as everyone else that opening segment of a 20-minute promo that you've heard probably before. It's tough, you know. For the most part, I would think that I DVR Raw and just kind of fast forward the parts of guys that I want to check out or if I heard something was good. But wrestling's reciprocal. I mean, right now there's a big indie surge, a big international surge, and the WWE will get back on track and will get back into the good graces of the smart fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now they're struggling a little bit in those fans' minds. But at the same time, they're making more money than they've ever made. So what do they really care?
Yeah.
And that's the conundrum. And that's the problem that you see without that WCW style of competition, without that major money backer to compete with the WWE.
Absolutely.
You know, right now there's such a giant global market, how can any of these companies compete with them? But until that day, you might not see the same kind of forced hand creativeness because, you know, you have to compete with someone. You know, so hopefully, and which is why I do love the surge of the indies and all the, you know, Ring of Honor obviously has been growing dramatically in the last year or two. Obviously, New Japan's getting worldwide attention, and I love that because as everyone else begins to grow, it just makes everyone perform better and have to be better because we're in that pressure cooker. only the best come out.
Absolutely, and I think that I've mentioned that so many times on the show, just as far as. It's like, you know, when the Monday Night Wars was around, man, almost, you know, 15 years ago now.
It makes me feel old.
Around 90, yeah, well, hey, I'm older than you are, so that's so it makes me feel even worse. But, yeah, almost 20 years ago is when the advent of the Monday Night Wars. And so it's like when you have that type of pressure and like you said, forced hand, you have the writers and you have the creative staff having so much more of just a no limit, you know, pulling out all the stops type of mentality. But now, since the WWE for so long, you know, since really 2001, they've really monopolized the market in many instances. Of course, you still have the indies. You still have TNA and, of course, ROH, which, you know, TNA or ROH debuted the same year. But that was 2002, though. And so, you know, ROH and TNA right now in their 13th year of existence, there's still so much time and so much work that needs to, you know, come with just really growing the product. And I think, you know, especially TNA, you know, there were many, many things that they thought that they could do within the first 10 years of their company that the WWE didn't do in their first 10 years of the company. Of course, there's social media and many, many more public access and things like that kind of can fast forward and kind of expedite the process as far as being knowledge of the product is concerned. But, I mean, it's just a time that you – right now is a time of, like, who's going to be that number two promotion that really gives the WWE some competition to say – oh, wait a minute, you know, they're kind of lurking in the back and kind of coming closer to the forefront, kind of like what WCW did. There was more of a, you know, coming from Mid-Atlantic, and it was more of a down-home, you know, southern promotion, and just really their edginess was a lot different and became different, and it kind of incited the WWE to make some adjustments. So, you know, a lot of us fans are like, man, who's going to be that breakout promotion that really shows the WWE that enough with just having these awful cliffhangers that we didn't see in the Attitude Era days. You know, the cliffhangers was much more intriguing than now. And I think, you know, when you say New Japan, you know, I think of, you know, their affiliation now with Global Force Wrestling, at least for Wrestle Kingdom. And this year, more than every year, the notoriety of Wrestle Kingdom this year was a big deal. And of course, Jim Ross and Matt Stryker, you know, calling the matches from the American end really helped out. But I can definitely see, you know, stars like you really, you know, you've wrestled, you know, in affiliation with New Japan before, but just I can see stars like you, the Gaijins, as they call them, the foreign wrestlers from Japan. I can definitely see people like you yourself being stars and really getting even an international presence. And as far as NXT is concerned, stars like you fit right in to that promotion, because I can see a match between you and Adrian Neville. So I think that would be fantastic. And as far as the WWE is concerned, as soon as I thought about the WWE, I thought about you versus Dolph Ziggler. I think that would tear the house down. So,
You mentioned guys that are destination television. You know, when those guys are on, I think the majority of wrestling fans are checking it out. We know there are also guys that other people would love to work with. You know, me and Neville would be just a clash of so much curly hair. I don't think anyone would know what to do with himself. But you know, me and Mike Bennett, we just came back from New Japan's World Tag Tournament. We spent 3 weeks over there with New Japan, and what an amazing experience! I love the crowds. I love the guys over there, and I'm ecstatic for the houses that they were drawing, the amount of attention that we were even getting in the States from being over there. You know, obviously we have every intention on going back shortly. And it's another venture. You know, the WWE, you know, they might have a monopoly here in the States, as far as the absolute top tier, promotion, but you know, Ring of Honor is increasing their pay-per-views, and their buy rates have been going up ever steadily. Their ratings have been going up. You know, TNA, unfortunately, it kind of seemed like they had the too much too soon Crockett, yeah, WCW style approach to wrestling, and it hadn't really worked out with the Spike deal. But hopefully, now that they found a new home. And we have, you know, I have friends over there. I mentioned earlier, Eddie Edwards is, he's not just a friend of mine. I just, as a peer, I just think the world of him. And I would love to see them succeed as well. So all these different ventures is just good for wrestling. You know, everywhere you go, whether it's international, whether it's domestic, as long as they're on the up, that's all you can ask for from all the guys. But I think the biggest thing is you need someone with faith, and to faith to put the money into it, because it's going to be hard to compete with a global juggernaut, if you don't have the same financial backing that they have, because you're not going to be able to compete production-wise and distribution-wise. So until you see a Ted Turner, a billionaire, want to get involved, and hopefully, you know, Mark Cuban is out there and he's serious about wanting to get involved in the wrestling game, which is always a rumor every couple of years. But I would love to see someone like that get involved and, you know, have the financial backing to compete with Vince, just because the more places there are, the better it is for all the wrestlers. We go out there and we kill ourselves because we love wrestling. And we might not be able to walk when we're 60, so hopefully, you know, we'll be able to make some money in this business that we won't have to have to be working when our bodies no longer want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you made some really, really good points there. Well, I mean, you know, technically from the public eye that we see in all the public papers, Cuban makes more money than Vince. So you know, if he put some type of financial backing into a promotion, that would certainly be the nouveau Monday Night Wars, and I would absolutely
Mark Cuban,
love that.
If you're listening, do us a favor. Get involved in wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the closest we had was him, you know, hosting ROH on HDNet, which is his
yeah.
channel. You know, I believe it's like Access TV now or something like that. But, you know, I guess that was the closest that Cuban had with wrestling. And, of course, you know, his appearances on Raw before. But you can tell, you know, just with his affiliation with the Mavericks and just his personality, that it would be something that I'm sure he's contemplated before. And it would be something that would just, I mean, it would shake the foundation of professional wrestling. And I certainly think that Ring of Honor would, you know, should be the promotion that, you know, he should back, because I've said this on this is the 146th episode of the show. It's been almost 3 years since this show has been in existence. And I've said many, many, many times within that nearly 3 years that ROH has the best talent pool in the world. I believe that. I'm stuck on it, and I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to change that thought, because there's so many people that's been snatched up from ROH, you know, that's became stars in both TNA and, of course, the WWE. I mean, look at Bryan Danielson.
True. I mean, I might be biased, but I think that you hit the nail on the head. You couldn't be any more right. And if Mark Cuban wants to pump a bunch of money into Ring of Honor, then he picked the right. Then he's a genius too. You know, I just look at, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Look at the top guys that have made it in this new age world of wrestling. You know, there's obviously the John Cena's of the world. But after that, you know, the CM Punk's, the Bryan Danielson's, all the way down to what you're seeing Kevin Steen do right now at NXT.
Yep.
They all started somewhere.
Yeah. Sami Zayn.
And, I mean, I could go on. Cesaro, Sami Zayn, there's so many of them. But it's ROH is leaving quite the lineage in wrestling. And if someone, you know, we have a great owner in Sinclair Broadcasting, and I don't want to sound like I'm not unbelievably grateful for how they've expanded the product. By joking around talking about Mark Cuban, because they have done a outstanding job. I mean, they're getting us in more markets than ever. Like I said, the pay-per-views are expanding. We're about to embark on the anniversary, the 13th anniversary pay-per-view show. This upcoming March 1st, and that's going to be live on pay-per-view from Vegas. So it's just it's great what they're doing, and they have faith in the product. And like what I said with TNA, you know, said some might think that they've gone, and I'm one of the opinion that they might have just kind of done too much too soon. And Ring of Honor's had a slow build, and it's on game, and it's reaching more people than it ever has before. And we're all extremely proud and excited to see what the future holds, because when you're part of a company like Ring of Honor, everyone feels like it's their baby. You know what I mean? Like they have ownership in it, just because it's definitely a big family feel. And to see how much we're growing and the places that we're going, to be on the West Coast, you know, for obviously for Mania weekend, but then also for the pay-per-view in Vegas. And to see, you know, all the stuff that we do have coming up, it's starting to leak out. And I can not confirm or deny, but I know New Japan's coming back over here, and we just happen to have some shows in Toronto, but, you know, I'm not saying anything. But to see them doing a bunch of stuff like that, you know, we all take great pride and want the company to keep growing and want, you know, as many people as possible to see what we have to offer, because we believe, like you do, you know, Ring of Honor has the best talent pool in professional wrestling today.
Yeah, absolutely. And not even today. This has been, you know, the past 10 years, you know, because we've seen the Daniel Bryans, the CM Punks, the Samoa Joes, the Austin Aries, the Christopher Daniels, you know, of course, you said Cesaro, and just on and on. You know, the names are, of course, right now, you have the Kevin Owens, Steen, the El Generico, Sami Zayn, and just on and on as far as people that's really made their name in ROH. And it's definitely not by happenstance that so many people with this Smark Nation, you know, style of professional wrestling fans these days. It's good recruiting, you know, and the talent recruiter, the talent coordinator, you know, for the WWE and TNA. I'm sure it wasn't by accident that ROH is still and was a choice to look into and to have a far seat in the back of a show, because I've been to multiple ROH shows and they're absolutely fantastic, and I have a better, and I've been to every Raw, you know, every televised live Raw for the past 15 years, and I've had more fun just from a organic standpoint going to a, you know, 150, 200 person, you know, crowd ROH show, than I have, you know, going to a 10,000, you know, Raw, 10,000 person Raw. It's just that nucleus feel. It's just that that ECW style feel, and we've seen that just with the advent of the choice fan of the day, really get its roots from ECW, just that nucleus, just the small nucleus just really expanding and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I can definitely see that with ROH and their affiliation with SBG. And, of course, the Cuban talk is wishful thinking, but, hey, if he cuts a big fat check, you know, to invest in ROH, that would be just as good as really having this Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm sure SVG would not have an issue with that whatsoever. I think it's coming. I think it's coming, and you know, thanks for your encouragement as far as the viewers are concerned, cuz so many people we've said on the show before that it's just a sinking ship as far as just the number two promotion, because they have such a chokehold on professional wrestling right now, but you know, people didn't think about it. People didn't think it could exist when WCW was having worldwide and having awful matches on WCW Saturday Night, and then all of a sudden, just Bischoff walked in and changed the place around. So. It happened before, and it can happen again. Before we end tonight, fantastic discussion, by the way. I had an amazing time talking to you. Let us know your thoughts on the college football playoffs, and who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
You know, I was actually going to bring that up because I heard it in your intro as well, which is another great topic. But let me just... Before I touch base on that, you said one thing, and you mentioned ECW, and it just made me think of a couple things. I was an huge ECW fan as a kid. I used to go to all the shows when they would be up in the New Hampshire or Northern Massachusetts area. And it's kind of crazy now, because now I can talk to, you know, people like Steve Corino or Dreamer and be like, Corino, I left one day with your blood all over me from a match you had with Jerry Lynn, and you know, I had to get in my dad's car and be like, Dad, I'm covered in sweat and beer and blood. Isn't this awesome? My dad's looking at some 13-year-old kid wondering, you know, where did he just drop him off? But, you know, I loved ECW and to remember how those fans were back in the day when I used to go. And I get that feeling as a wrestler now being a part of Ring of Honor. That just groundswell, that's pure you know, wrestling fan, you know, whether they love you or hate you, it's just, you know, from the first match to the last match, they're involved and they're invested. And with the ECW arena being on the list of events coming up, the Kingdom, Mike Bennett, myself, and Maria will be facing off against the Briscoes and ODB in the ECW arena. So that's going to be quite a moment for a old ECW fan like myself to not only wrestle in that building again, but to wrestle in such a premier match in that building. But as far as the college football playoffs, I love it. I think the only problem is they should have it should be 8 teams now. We've seen it work with 4. Let's do a full 8 because you saw the number 4 seed win the national title. And in years past, if you were 4th in the pollings, you didn't even sniff the national championship game. It was either 1-2 or 1-3. But I think in the first year to watch the 4th seed win the national championship just says that the playoffs need to be expanded. Because there's only one way to find a true winner, and that's to have them actually play each other.
Yeah.
And, the Super Bowl. Well, yep. I'm from New England through and through. I actually used to work for the New England Patriots while I was starting to wrestle. I actually had to leave because wrestling, was taking off, and I had to make a decision. But I have to stay true. To the guys that I've always rooted for. The Pats are going to win. It's going to be Pats Seahawks, and it's going to be a close game in the Super Bowl, but I think the Patriots are going to take it like they always do in the Super Bowl by a field goal.
Wow. Well, I respect you highly, and but I don't respect your affinity towards the Patriots.
You can't deny that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback.
Yeah. He's one of the best ever, at least. It's hard for me to admit that. That may be true, but it would be hard for me to admit that. From a fourth round, I believe his pick was from Michigan.
Sixth round.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. Sixth round from Michigan. Being one of the best ever. Well, first of all, I'm diehard Ohio State fan, so anyone coming from Michigan, it's hard for me to admit that they're good anyways.
It's
so
funny
because
I was rooting for Oregon just because I'm a Michigan fan. So I was just rooting against the Buckeyes just because. And we had such a great conversation up until now. I feel like we were friends. Now I think
blood's been drawn. I feel that. I feel some tension coming on, man.
I think all of a sudden the tone of the conversation changed drastically.
Yeah, because I'm a huge Ohio State fan. And
congratulations. You guys won.
Thank you.
Hopefully, the guy that was third string and ended up winning the national title game, he stays and doesn't decide to just go to the NFL.
See, okay, we're getting into good graces again because I feel the same way. I don't think he should go, and I definitely think it should be 8 teams. Mostly because of this. I'm a traditionalist when it comes to pro wrestling and college football. I do like the playoffs. I've been someone who wanted the playoffs to go on for years upon years. I think it should be 8 teams. The number one reason why is because I still find importance in the Power 5. Mm-hmm. And I think when you get the 8 teams, because even with the BCS, those two at-large bids were so big. That was a big deal, for your Ohio States that lost a couple games, for your Oregons that lost a couple games, for your USCs, for your and so forth. And I think that at-large concept is an amazing concept, and it makes the 3 teams like a Boise State and like a non-Power 5
want to get that. TCUs, even when you go to 4 teams, the Boise States, TCUs, those schools that you always just kind of see hovering around there, put them in the playoffs. Let's see what they actually can do. Let's stop denying them that they're a number one seed just because of who they play and where they play. Let's throw them against Alabama. Let's see if they pull off the upset. If not, hey, what do you lose?
Absolutely. Especially TCU, just demolishing Ole Miss, you know, in the bowl game, you know, 42-3, I believe it was. And
exactly.
So just TCU. That alone, you know, that alone just shows that, you know, TCU demolishing an SEC, you know, the almighty SEC, which was humbled this year. And just it really shows that the Big 12, you know, they could have been the representative of the Big 12. And, you know, it, first of all, it also makes the Big 12 go, you know, grab them a couple more teams and have them, you know, a playoff game, have them a division title game, because they need about two more teams to do that. I think Boise State would be a good one to have. I think Cincinnati would be another good team to have for the Big 12. And I definitely think they should have two more teams so they can have the division playoff to really have an outright champion to represent the Big 12 conference in this 8-team playoff, because the Power Five still is strong and you don't have potentially two SEC teams in the top four like it could have been this year. And just, you know, it's important for that.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, take these bowl games that people aren't watching, that are just, you know, just kind of pats on the backs of teams that are going 6-5, and, you know, make them into something important. Make them into a playoff game. What I can't see that college football, who is growing faster than the NFL, making close to $5 billion a year, would have any problem making these bowl games more important and just increasing ad revenue for the televisions. It just doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't have a bigger playoff. I know this year you know, they're trying it out, and they had to start somewhere, and they started with four teams. I think I'm just really bitter for the BCS years and how big of a waste of time that was. They should have been having a playoff there during that entire span of the BCS, just because it was ridiculous right off the bat. And, you know, eight teams, like you said, you can throw the Power Five, have a couple of teams, you know, that – maybe picked up a loss in there, you know, in perfect example, the, you know, the SEC, everyone thinks it's such a power conference. Well, if a team that lost once and, you know, is considered the second best team in that conference, well, throw them in the tournament too and see if they can make a run and maybe get that win back against whoever took their conference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome, Matt. Well, thank you so much, man. It's been an amazing discussion. Thank you so much for all your input. And before we go, let us know some dates that you have coming up soon.
Definitely. Well, this weekend I will be in Providence for XWA, but then the next couple of weekends after that, it's all Ring of Honor. We got Philadelphia coming up in the ECW Arena on the 24th. Dearborn, Michigan, Dayton, Ohio, the following weekend. The end of February is Atlanta. We have the pay-per-view in Vegas. But all the indie dates that I might have in between, you can find out where I am on any of my social media sites. I am Matt Taven on Facebook, so just facebook.com/Matt Taven. I'm at Matt Taven on Twitter, and Instagram, I'm TheMattTaven. Any other questions for as far as booking or merchandise, you can just email me at matttaven@gmail.com. All my stuff's pretty easy to find. If you know how to spell Taven, which is T-A-V-E-N, you know how to find me. And then also, you know, any wrestling fan out there that has never heard of Ring of Honor, go check out Ring of Honor, ROHWrestling.com. Check it out live if you can, because, you know, like we're saying, the atmosphere is just amazing. But anywhere you can watch it, definitely check it out. I know you won't be disappointed, and spread the word.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Matt, and have a great night, man.
You too, man. It was great talking to you. Have a great night.
You likewise. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, awesome, awesome, awesome interview from Matt Taven. Wow, I did not know that we'd be friends by the end of the end of the show. We got a lot in common. Great guy. And be sure, like I said, check him out on Ring of Honor. And you know, be sure to support Ring of Honor Wrestling. Awesome, awesome promotion. I've been a Ring of Honor fan since its inception in 2002. Continue to watch Ring of Honor on a weekly basis, and I'm just really, really happy that, you know, Ring of Honor is at the position that they are now. And just like I said, the talent pool that they have, decided to play the OSU fight song because I like to quote one of my favorite movies of all time, Rocky. And Rocky Balboa says, "Yo, Adrian, we did it. Yo, Derek, we did it."
Oh, we did it. We did it in beautiful fashion. That was so... It was the highest rated game, I think, of all time, or on ESPN or something like that. I mean, it was... I mean, that's it. The Buckeyes can compete with anybody out there, period. We proved it. It's done. It's in the record books. No more easy games, easy schedule. Oh, well, the other team was tired. Who cares? We showed up on that night. We showed up. We were there. The other team wasn't there. We won. That's it. And that was the last. Cardale Jones, the last three games that he's ever played, I mean, he's won. Third-string quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. Third-string quarterback was better than the Heisman winner quarterback.
Yeah. And mind you, the third-string quarterback beats every single Heisman finalist this year.
I mean, you can't dispute it. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ohio State Buckeyes, national champions of the first playoff year. I agree with the 18. That can work in eventually. And, yeah, Matt Taven, ladies and gentlemen, we had him on our show. He was here. And we talked to him about wrestling. We had a great time. We talked football with him, too. And that's interesting. That's great. I love to know things about people. Yeah, we're all wrestling fans here. But I like to know things about people that, you know, we can get together on another level. You know, yeah, it's not just all wrestling. Yeah, football, okay, well, I like this, I like that. But, you know, awesome interview, Chris Featherstone. This is Pancakes and Power Slams. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 146, we're on our way to 150. We wouldn't be here without you.
Absolutely. Before we get into Raw, let's pick up a call. Let us know your name and where you're calling from and your thoughts. Glad to have you on the show.
Hi, my name is Jesse Collings. I write for WrestlingInc.com. I've listened to the show a few times, and I just thought I'd call in and share my thoughts.
Fantastic, Jesse. Former coworker of mine over at Wrestling Inc., man. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Let us know your thoughts.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Well, we are let us know your thoughts on just the Raw. It's up to you wherever you want to go, man.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, well, I heard Matt Taven say kind of the same thing, is that you watch Raw each week, and it seems like it's the same, you know, episode every single time, and it always starts off the same, and it's the Authority cutting, you know, whatever, a 20-minute promo. And it seems, for me, the Authority, it seems like their characters are kind of running in circle, where, yes, they're these evil bosses, and they don't like all the good guys and stuff, but, you know, and this has become a massive problem for WWE in the last 10 years or so. It's just they're on so much, and they have so much programming, and they have 3 hours to fill and stuff, and it just becomes so repetitive, and it takes the shelf life of these characters and, you know, dwindles them down to such a low rate that you're sick of seeing them. And, you know, as talented as Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are, no one was excited to see the Authority back. And, you know, yeah, do they get heat? Do they get heat that they're... people are mad at them, or people just want them to go away? I think it's really interesting how much longer they can go with the Authority without trying to, you know, put a bullet in its head.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you, man. I totally agree. The fact that we, you know, every week we come into a 20-minute promo, which usually involves John Cena and or the Authority, and it just it's really, and I, like I said on the show before, I think probably 1 or 2 weeks ago, they're desperately clawing and scratching for a reset button. It seems like they're really trying to get this Authority stretched out to its fullest capacity. It seems like the payoff will be Sting versus Triple H at WrestleMania to end this Authority angle. But, you know, we have to wait another 3 months for that to happen, or another 2.5 months for that to happen, and it's going to be pretty it's going to be pretty exhausting and pretty tiring and pretty brutal to see leading up to that. Do you have any predictions from here to WrestleMania?
For me, well, you know, you say, oh, well, the Authority angle is supposed to end with the big Sting, Triple H blow-off. Are we sure that Triple H is, you know, going to take a back seat after WrestleMania? Is he going to stop being an on-screen character? I don't know if that's true. I thought the big blow-off was supposed to be at Survivor Series, but I guess it wasn't because they made that match redundant. I honestly don't think the Authority is going to end after WrestleMania just because of how much of a crutch it has been for them creatively. Everything centers around the Authority. It's how they've it's been a tentpole for their entire show the last year or year and a half whenever they, you know, started popping up as a real thing. So it wasn't surprising to see them only off TV for, what, 5 weeks during after they lost their jobs. It just seems like they're totally screwed up. And you're right, they are looking for a reset button. And, you know, is the Authority the answer to a lot of WWE's problems? The Authority going to pump up live attendance? Is it going to pump up television ratings? Is it going to get people to purchase the WWE network that they so lustily desire? The proof isn't really there, but I have no idea what they can do outside of the Authority because that's all we've known for the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you make a good point. I think we probably won't see Triple H end his on-screen character post-Mania. I just don't think that it would be in an Authority setting. I think we'll still see him as some type of leadership, authoritative character, but probably not an Authority role, because it seems like right now they're trying to mold Rollins with the Authority. It seems like the Authority's taken a different type of twist and really putting Rollins over. But I've said this on a previous show, I don't know if it's working so much because we're seeing so much Authority being at the forefront. Now, we saw it Raw, and we saw it a few Raws with Seth Rollins, you know, has had the big, you know, last moment, you know, that cliffhangs until the next week. But I really don't know if it's really doing its job and really putting Rollins over like it seems like it's intended to do.
Exactly. And obviously, Rollins is the young guy. He's the guy that's going to be, you know, the top heel for the next 10 years in WWE. But it's a fine line between, oh, is the heat going to be on Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, or is the heat going to be on Rollins? Because in a perfect world, you'd like to imagine that could be on both of them, but it really can't. It's one person's going to look better than the other. And I honestly, it's that fine line. I like what they've been doing the last few weeks. It's been Rollins. I like the whole angle with where he was going to kill Edge or whatever. I thought that was really well done. But you're right. You don't know if Rollins is getting the most out of this feud that he possibly could, especially because he's been, you know, jobbing the Cena left and right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Jesse. Let us know before we got off. Let us know where you're writing at and a little bit about what type of articles you got in mind coming up.
Well, for those of you who know, I write at Wrestling Inc. Under my column named Views from the Turnbuckle. So every Thursday I publish a new article. Obviously it's Royal Rumble season, so there's going to be a lot of Royal Rumble stuff on, I guess it would be tomorrow, East Coast time. I'm going to publish betting odds for the Royal Rumble on who you should consider winning, who's the favorite, who's, you know, an underdog that could end up winning. And a lot of stuff coming up for WrestleMania, a lot of historical stuff too. I like to mix in some contemporary stuff with classical and comparisons and stuff like that. I love wrestling history. I love wrestling, you know, outside of the United States and Japan. I love indie wrestling. I pretty much love wrestling in general. So thanks for giving me a forum, and you guys have a good night.
You too. Thanks a lot, Jesse. All right. Well, we got Jesse Collings calling in from WrestlingInc.com, my former employer. Thanks for calling in as well. That was unexpected. I didn't know that was going to happen, so thanks so much for calling in and let us know your input on the current wrestling product, Jesse. Great to have you. So the Ohio State Buckeyes win the national championship, and then we get Raw. We start off with a typical John Cena promo, as we do all the time, which leads into a Seth Rollins match, Lumberjack match. It seems like they're having an angle right now with John Cena trying to bring back the people that were fired. And, you know, it just we're seeing such an oversaturation of Cena promos to lead the show that it's starting to become numbing to me. That, you know, it's almost a safe bet to do something else for the first 20 minutes of the show.
Yeah, it's a safe bet, and it's a boring bet, because no one, it's, last night, from what I hear, there was a game going on, so I wasn't really able to watch Raw. It was, it went right into the wrestling action, and that's great. It doesn't do that too often. A lot of times, like I said, you always have Triple H and Stephanie coming out, getting redundant, getting boring, and there wasn't too much of a gap between the authority being gone and authority coming back. And the gap in between the time was absolutely horrible and boring, and we've said that many times on this show. So it's the authority coming back. I'm not too keen on it. I don't hate it, but I don't love it, and it's, what are we going to expect from it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I'm not a fan of it at all. And, you know, I think Jesse brought up some good points as far as just, you know, the 18 months has been really centered around the authority, you know, with the exception of, you know, Cena and Lesnar being another a focal point. But it's just been... The product when the authority's in charge has not been very captivating, and I think, you know, just I absolutely loved the conversation between Matt and I, just as far as just and it's something we've, you know, even mentioned on the show many times, you know, when it comes to just that number two promotion just really becoming more and more prominent, and whoever that number two promotion is just needs to come on around. Because the WWE needs more must-see TV, and I think that comes from a competitive edge that they would be forced to have, and I definitely think that comes with that comes with a competitor being around, and it's just, man, we need to see that. Why do we need to see that? Because we have matches like the New Day against Kidd and Cesaro, which wasn't horrible. You know, I'm trying my best to hold on to the New Day stable. I'm trying, man. I'm trying my best to hold on. But it seemed like they had some type. It seemed like they had some promise to them, and then all of a sudden, man, they just don't. It seems like they're fading fast to me, and it's really sad for me to say that.
They're fading fast because they're almost like Adam Rose. He first came, there was so much promise. There was a lot of hype behind it and everything, and now it's just kind of fell flat on its face, and no one knows what to do with it. Same thing with New Day. They still have some air in them. I mean, they're very talented in-ring performers. That's the thing that is good about them. I mean, they are very talented. Big E, you got Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you can't deny that. So it's just I didn't think it was going to get over from the beginning. I really didn't. It's kind of proven its point, which is kind of redundant with WWE nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, before we go on, I definitely want to make a mention on this big Power Pack show. I want to mention, and I said this last year. I said this last week that from now on we want to give back. This is episode 146. We get tens of thousands of listeners on a weekly basis, and we want to give back. We want to show you all our thanks by promoting your wrestling sites, by promoting your wrestling, personas. Like I said last week, we gave a shout out to an indie wrestler and a upcoming wrestling promotion. And if you have a wrestling promotion, an indie promotion, if you are a wrestler yourself, if you have a Facebook site, a website, let us know by inboxing us on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and we'll give you a shout out. We get a last week, since I announced that, we've had a bunch of inquiries, and we've had a bunch of positive feedback, and people just wanted to announce them up on the show. So, continue that. Continue to give us the messages on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and we will promote you free of charge. And, just like I said, just as a sign of giving back for all the support that you have given us over the past nearly 3 years now. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and mention one company, which is Wrestling Now and Then. That's spearheaded by Joe Morris, and he's an avid supporter of Crave Wrestling and the Pancakes and Power Slam show, and he has a really, really good Facebook page that is Wrestling Now and Then. So be sure to support Wrestling Now and Then, awesome, up-to-date, up-to-the-minute news that you can really, go to for, your fix of wanting to know what's going on in the pro wrestling world. There's many of those, Facebook pages and sites, but there's something a bit special and genuine, authentic about Joe Morris and the Wrestling Now and Then site, and they're very, very supportive. So I would definitely encourage you to link up with Joe and the Wrestling Now and Then site, because they're very, very supportive over the site as far as, similar to, what we do over the Pancakes and Power Slam show, just giving back. And what's so amazing about the Wrestling Now and Then site is it hasn't even been around for a long time, and they still want to support whatever wrestling vision that you have. Go over there and check it out, and be sure to comment on the stories that Wrestling Now and Then releases, and be sure to show them support over on the Facebook page. So once again, Wrestling Now and Then with Joe Morris. And continue to support them or start supporting them. So thank you, Joe, for all of your amazing contribution to supporting Crave Wrestling. We have over 500 comments over at the on the live stream, the live Pancakes and Power Slam stream. I really don't have time to read a lot of them. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the chat room, a lot going on. So thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for supporting and continuing to chat and let us know your thoughts on the product. So that's awesome. All right, so let's just skim through the rest of Raw, and then go into the flavor of the week, continuing our series on the worst Royal Rumble winners the WWE has ever presented to us, and we will go ahead and talk about that here soon. All right, so we go to Reigns defeating Luke Harper. That's a feud that I would rather see actually than the Big Show and Roman Reigns. I understand why the Big Show is being used to put over Roman Reigns. I get it. But I would rather see a feud between Reigns and Harper, just because Harper would help Reigns as far as a wrestling standpoint. Reigns, and I wrote an article on Bleacher Report, which I checked, you know, last time I checked, which was about a day ago, it had over 80,000 views. So I don't even know where it is now as far as the views are concerned. So first of all, thank you for that. But I wrote an article that had a lot of views and a lot of discussion that was in the comment board as far as two matches that, you know, I believe that should be main eventing WrestleMania 31. And go over and check it. It says two matches that should headline WrestleMania 31. That's the title of it. And we'll talk about more of that, you know, because of time restrictions. We'll talk about more of that in the upcoming weeks. But I really think that there should be better feuds that leads to that WrestleMania match that I'm hoping that happens, that I'm kind of wistfully predicting for 31. There should be I understand the Big Show feud, that because they want to put him over with a bigger name, but the Big Show, as far as athleticism is concerned, you know, he's never been the most athletic guy, and I definitely think that I definitely think that Roman Reigns needs to be in feuds with people that are more athletically, you know, superior than the Big Show. His feud with Orton was absolutely great, and I think it was a really good feud for him to be in from a kind of a honing his wrestling skills standpoint. And I think the feud with Show, yeah, it's a big name. Yeah, I understand why they're doing it. At first, I was an advocate, but I'm getting very tired with this feud already. And then the mic work that the Big Show's cutting just to gain heel heat, it sounds so desperate. And it's like people were chanting boring during his promo, and it pretty much says it all as far as where the Big Show's character is right now. And it just really, in hindsight, it's like, is it really helping out Roman Reigns? I don't know if it's helping out Roman Reigns as much as getting into a feud with, like, you know, a Cesaro or Luke Harper will. He needs people who can wrestle.
He needs people who can wrestle. I mean, the Big Show is the Big Show. And the Big Show has been a joke for such a long time. And that's so...
Yeah.
It's very... I don't like it. And there's nothing you can really do to revive his character. He comes in, he's upset and mad, and you think, oh, the Big Show's going to do something big, and the Big Show does nothing. I mean, spare me from this. And it's the Big Show, really, there's no feud there today that could spark back his image. Unless the WWE wants to put their faith in him, which they're not going to do, obviously, because he's a jobber. And that's how the Big Show is now. That's a shame.
Sadly. Very sadly. And then Naomi is getting some type of ridiculous shaft because she lost to Alicia Fox both on Raw and SmackDown. And, you know, I don't know why Naomi, and I've said before, she should be one of the people who is getting more of an opportunity and the Divas, and then because Alicia Fox, I mean, why is he losing to Alicia Fox? I'm sure that maybe they are doing that because Alicia Fox on Total Divas now, but, you know, there's nothing going on with Alicia Fox that should make her continue to beat Naomi, who has so much potential as a top diva.
Top diva. I mean, the whole Divas thing is ran by Total Divas. It's so hard to watch the matches and just be believable. And it's, you know, almost like Paige is with them now. She is a total diva. And you and I were talking a few weeks ago that Paige was somebody, oh, she's going to resurrect the Divas division. She's going to make it great. No, because she's now a diva. So, I mean, pretty much anything is just off the board for me. So, I mean, compressed time, ladies and gentlemen. 90 minutes is never enough. Chris Featherstone, what happened on Raw or with the Buckeyes? What's your
insight? What's that?
What's your insight? I mean, we got so much
insight
to talk about.
Well, you know, I think Buckeye talk may even go another week because there's so much to talk about the Buckeyes that it will just totally disregard the format of this show for tonight. Which it'll be a better discussion, but you know, we have to stick to the format as much as possible. But yeah, I think we will talk Ohio State next week. As we'll talk more Ohio State next week. Of course, Matt Taven had some really good insights. So I mean, just like you said, shout out to Matt Taven, man. I've followed him in Ring of Honor. But man, just a down-to-earth, really cool guy, you know, that you can carry an hour-long conversation with about wrestling and football. I love wrestlers like that. Tyler Rex is like that too. Gabe Tuft, Tyler Rex, he's like that too, man. Just a real down-to-earth guy that's you know, has really made some impact in professional wrestling, but is really humble and thankful. So thank you, Matt Taven, once again. I had a fantastic time speaking with you. And then we get things like Miz defeating Jey Uso. It seems like they're going to continue that feud. The Usos beat Golden Stardust on SmackDown. And then we have Brie Bella defeating Paige. It seems like they're trying to have Paige feud with the Bellas, but it just seems like they're doing some awkward things right now, trying to make Paige a face. I think it'll work because she has a smart reaction, but it just seems like they're trying desperately to make something happen. Alicia Fox was, when Paige was a heel, Alicia Fox turn face quietly because Paige beat her up a couple times, which led to a Survivor Series match. And now Paige is the face and Alicia's the heel again. Alicia flip-flops a lot. It's just weird. It's just really weird, the Divas division. And then we get the Ascension again, defeating two jobbers like they did on SmackDown. The Ascension, and just their promo says, we're better than Demolition. We're better than the Powers of Pain. We're better than the Road Warriors. We are the Ascension. That is horrible, and it's not really drawing heat at all. It's just making them seem like losers, wishful losers who should go away fast.
what do we say about the Ascension? Yeah, I mean, losers. Come on, are you serious? They've got nothing on Demolition. They've got nothing on Legion of Doom, Powers of Pain, Power and Glory, Girls and Cars, Strike Force.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, they're – forget about them. So, I mean, they're a bust. They totally blew their first impression in WWE. NXT, okay, but WWE, not at all. And that's not necessarily their fault.
That's true. Because, you know, I'm sure they didn't come up with the promos, but absolutely ridiculous. We got to throw in trivia question, of course, and I'll give it to whoever answers first between the We Are Wrestling live chat or the live Twitter at Crave Wrestling or Derek, whoever answers it first. The question is, what year did NWA Mid-Atlantic become WCW? What year did NWA Mid-Atlantic, Jim Crockett Promotions, the JCP wing of the NWA, what year did that become WCW? And then as far as Raw is concerned, you said 1990?
Yes.
1990. No. Absolutely wrong.
91.
And, no, not 91, not 90, neither of those. Rusev defeating Dean Ambrose. Man, I don't know what they're doing with your boy. He lost because of a stoppage because Rusev was put him in a trio row and was wearing on his knee, and so the referee stopped it when he. So, what's going on with your boy Ambrose, man?
Dean Ambrose, and they were kind of saying on the. I read an article not too long ago. He loses, but he never loses cleanly. So they're still trying to preserve it, but they're trying to do something with Bray Wyatt. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I think it's crazy. I don't believe the reports that they're talking about him. It's a sinking ship that doesn't deserve to be. But I still think there's future in Dean Ambrose. He's not going to be on the chopping block anytime soon. As far as you know,
I don't know, man. I don't know. It seems like they're not really putting much investment in him, which is absolutely horrible. So it's just ridiculous. Real quick, before we go into the contract signing, we'll actually let my boy Ryan Fuqua get on the line, share his couple minutes with the Ryans then, and let us know his thoughts on the contract signing. And his boy, Seth Rollins, getting another amazing cliffhanging, it's all about me moment. So I'm sure he was happy about that. Glad to have you on the show, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Pancakes and power slams. Man, not too friendly to Seth Rollins. Don't like it. I love the guy. I did like him looking strong. You know, Seth can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm all about Seth. But mainly the thing I wanted to say real quick is the authority thing is really bad, okay, we know that, but it's really bad because Triple H has been in the game, what, 20 years now, and we're still having to boo him? We want to cheer him. We want to be happy about him. Okay, he can be the GM role, and I don't want to take too much time, but he can be the GM role, but just be a face and maybe show up like on the go home show or after a pay-per-view, you know, just once a month show up on Raw or whatever. Just Triple H, we respect the game. We love you. We just want to cheer you. That's all I ask. It's tough to keep booing him. Like, it's kind of hard. Like, Stephanie, I can do without. I know some people say she's good, but I'm not one of the people buying it. I think she's just doing the typical McMahon thing, and it is played out. But Triple H, give me a face Triple H in the authority role and only see him maybe once or twice a month. That's all I ask.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I think that's a great point. I'm bored with it, and you know, I'm totally bored with it with the authority angle. I think Ryan and Jesse, you know, made really good points today as far as the authority angle just being, you know, irrelevant and not much of a point right now. I understand that it's helping Rollins get over, but you know, like I said, you know, who's really taking the heat? You know, it seems like the authority's trying to do that. All right, well, you know, we're going to talk about the more of Royal Rumble coming up here in the coming weeks. As far as the contract signing, it leads into, you know, Seth Rollins really getting the big rub of the nights by curb stomping Brock Lesnar and John Cena. You know, we'll see where that's going to lead. As far as the Royal Rumble is concerned, we'll talk more about it next week. So we'll do a double time, you know, next week, time permitting. But the person that was decided for this week was Batista's win this year. Totally ridiculous, totally pointless. It led to him being in a triple threat match, which he was the one who received the tap out by Daniel Bryan. So it was absolutely ridiculous. So 10 seconds on your thoughts on that, Derek.
I think seconds on my thoughts. Batista was never a major player in the game. That's pretty much about it. Except for Marvel Comics.
Yeah, I forgot you weren't a big Batista fan. That's right. We had a pretty interesting conversation about that. We'll talk more about that next week. Thank you, Matt Taven. Thank you for all the callers, all the people chatting on WeAreWrestling.net. Awesome, awesome show tonight. Thank you so much for supporting 147 coming up next week with a special announcement. Until then, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Day loves Elijah, and good night. Goodbye.